Mas Avram's introduction to Shin Chaf Ches tonight. We'll see. But we have a lot to talk about. So we are on the page on the sheet, the Nishmas Avram, that has Tuf Aleph at the top. We are at number 15. Sorry, is it number 15? Yeah. The electric door. Yeah, that's where we are. Right. Last time we did all of this about the cameras. Now we have another electric issue, and that is where you will step on a mat or cross some kind of a sensor, and the door will open. And the problem there, and this goes back actually to what I was just saying to Harry before we got started, is that you do benefit from the result. This is not like the security camera where you have no interest in being photographed. In this case, you're not getting in unless you cross the sensor. So now that is a problem. So the Nishmas Avram writes, everyone has it? Okay, I put the link in the chat, so hopefully everybody sees that. Yeshnam batei cholim ba'olam shekol daltot haknisa gam lebet hacholim v'gam lemachlakot ha'ishbuz. He says there are hospitals in this world which are arranged such that all of the entrances, whether entrance to the hospital or the entrance to individual units, all of them, niftachot v'nisgarot, they open and close, ayde ma'agal chashmali, via electric circuit. V'kachi niftachos kisha adam miskarev alayhen, v'nisgaros achrei shu misrachek mehen. They open when a person gets close, and then they close when the person goes away. So you really have two problems here. Right? One problem that you have is that when you get close, you cause it to open. The other problem is that as you walk away, you're actually now causing it to close. Now, I don't think, you have to talk to an engineer who's familiar with the systems. I don't believe that what's actually happening is that when you go away, you cause it to close. It isn't that there is a sensor waiting for you to leave. When you cross that, then it closes. Rather, as long as you are present, it will remain open because you are in the space. And when you leave, it detects that there's nothing in the space, you know, whatever motion it's looking for, whatever the electric I-beam was being broken by is no longer there. And that's when it will close. It's a little bit of a difference, but let's see what he says. Lefima shekasav haChazon Ish, according to what the Chazon Ish wrote, which we've referred to from time to time, sheyesh b'skiras u'psichas ma'agal chashmali malacha shalbona ososer, that when you close or open electrical circuit, that's an act of construction or demolition. Lo nitan leYehudi likanes lebatei cholim ela b'shabas levakir chola elim kein hu yikanes yachad emakum. So he says, if you take the Chazon Ish's view, which is that every time you close or open a circuit, you are performing an act of construction or demolition on Shabbos. So there's no way you're getting into that hospital on Shabbos short of walking in along with a non-Jew. So therefore, the non-Jew is causing it to open for himself, and you tag along. V'yizaher, and he says a person would have to be careful, sha'akum hushi kanes kodem, that the non-Jew go first. And also, having entered, the Jew has to walk step by step with the non-Jew, or alternatively, get ahead of him, the point being that the door will only close after the non-Jew enters, and not because you entered. He's taking the view that you're exiting the space exerts some influence on the door. Everyone see that? This is all within the view of the Chazon Ish. I see your hand, Michael. I'm just going to finish the paragraph first. I see the end in sight. Ach, Amar li Agon, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. However, he says, Rosh Shlomo Zalman told me, Dibishai Efshar Bederech Acheres. If there is no other way, meaning you're standing there and there are no non-Jews coming in. Maybe you're in Israel and you're in a hospital where there isn't a large non-Jewish population. And you have a great need to get inside. Mutter le-Yehudi li-kanes karagil. The Jew could go in normally. Ulalo ezras akum, without the help of a non-Jew. V'ayim b'sifro mincha shlomo. See the discussion in the Mincha Shlomo of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And that's something that he will discuss actually elsewhere. But basically, Rosh Shlomo Zalman's position is that electricity, including opening and closing the circuit, is a derabanan. He doesn't follow the position of the Chazon Ish, and therefore he sees room to be lenient. V'kasavli mori v'rabi agon rav noivert shlita yesh livdo ketev im ein the... he says, actually... Well, there, let me read this first. He says, yesh livdo ketev, you have to check well, im ein in nurash and it lekes im drichas haregel ala plata. You have to check and make sure that no light is going to go on when you step on the mat, which I think doesn't normally happen in our day, but there was a concern, evidently, at some point. And he says, see, also in the Sefer Halacha or Refuah. Yeah, Michael.
Why isn't... It sounds like closing the door is the same issue as we've talked about. I don't care if the door closes or doesn't close. And if I don't care about the effect of the door closing or not closing, why does it matter?
Right. Right. So one possibility is that the door closing is actually material and relevant and you do want the door to close, whether because of fear of infection or security or whatever else. Maybe, you know, you could make that argument. The other is, though, that the arguments that we made before about, you know, I don't really care about this and so on, do much better if we're talking about a derabanan. But if you're talking about a deoraisa, those are less helpful. So that may be why. In terms of the overall, though, what Rav Shlomo Zalman is relying on to be lenient, in addition to the point of, well, electricity is a derabanan, is also what we've said before, and I'm not going to revisit the whole thing now, the idea from Rav Wozner, from the Shevet Halevi, that walking through a space is not really an act of lighting or constructing or so on. It's not an act that's associated really with that malacha, and that's grounds for further leniency. Robbie.
So one of the things, is this only applying to hospitals? Like, for example, Brian and I do a lot of cruising. We're always very careful to make sure that someone non-Jewish goes in front of us when we go in. But does this only apply to hospitals where there's a life and death kind of thing, or does this apply to everything?
So it definitely it helps to have a tzorach mitzvah, right? To have a specific mitzvah purpose in going in. To say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to walk in and walk out without a need, without a mitzvah, is harder. Remember, we have a principle in halacha called shvus de shvus b'makom tzorech. What that means is to do something which is what I guess in English is best called a double dirabanan, is permitted in a case of need. So I'll give you the classic example. Let's say my air conditioner setting is not really beneficial for the household, and it's boiling hot. Why not? It's the beginning of March. The summer is coming. So it's boiling hot in the house. The air conditioner isn't set well. I can tell a non-Jew to change the setting, assuming I'm really suffering. I'm not necessarily advising that people actively do this, but there is such a heter in a case of need. I could ask the non-Jew to adjust the setting, taking the view that adjusting the setting is rabbinically prohibited rather than biblical, like Rav Shlomo Zalman's view of electricity and what's involved in the air conditioner, the different things that the air conditioner is doing being derabanan. So that's number one. And number two, asking a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos is itself rabbinically prohibited rather than biblically prohibited. So it's a double derabanan. So if you can make the argument that there is a double derabanan, then it's permissible in a case of need. So you have to define need. In the hospital...
So what if it went to the cafeteria?
Right. So in the hospital setting, it's very easy. It's for the sake of visiting the sick. If it's a circumstance where, you know, there's some other benefit that I need, you know, such as I won't have food today without it. So yes, that will qualify as a tzorech. It comes up when people are staying in a hotel and they need to be able to get into their hotel room and all their food is inside the room. So you know, they're, you know, that in that kind of case, yeah.
So they're permitted to use the electric lock then?
Not directly. That's still a derabbanan. But
yeah.
Okay. Again, in a case of need, I stress that because there are so many other ways to handle such cases. And I don't just mean don't get into them in the first place, but like there are ways to handle them that this isn't recommended. This is if someone's stuck.
Okay.
Sammy.
I don't know if this is the same relevance, but in the hospital, a lot of the, like the ICU units, you have to use your key card. There is a bell for somebody who doesn't have a key card, but if you try and knock on the door, nobody's going to hear you. So where does that fall in?
Right.
You have to get in if you're the doctor or the nurse.
So, you know, the ideal would be wait for somebody who isn't Jewish to be going in, you know, if you have that opportunity, if you have the time. ICUs, you tend to have people going in and out. So, you know, that may be an option depending on the urgency, you know, of your visit. It all depends on what role you're playing there. You know, the key message that I get out of what the Nishmas Avram is writing here is that it's not so simple. Unlike the case that we dealt with before with the security camera, this is harder to permit. That's the point. Okay. So number 16 on the sheet. Okay, for the for anyone who just joined, we're still on the page of Nishmas Avram that is Taf Aleph. I'll put the link in the chat again. Okay, number 16. This is a short one. Madregot Naot, moving stairs, also known as an escalator. Mutter lehishtamesh b'madregot naot kishen poalot ba'ofen otomati. If you have an escalator that is functioning automatically, in other words, not one of those where when you get on, then it starts to move, but it's going anyway. So he says there's no problem with you using the escalator on Shabbos. The reason he has to say that is why. What would have been my concern?
You have to start it.
No, it's running. It's not one that you're starting. If you're starting it, you have a problem. Sorry?
It takes extra work and exertion for the escalator to carry your extra weight.
Right. You are causing the escalator to work harder in order to carry you. This goes back to our discussion about the elevator. But the answer will be, any role that you play in that is absolutely minimal. You could engage how much extra is going on in order to move you. Not to mention, we've seen Rosh Shlomo Zalman is lenient regarding causing a modification of electrical current, as opposed to, you know, opening closing a circuit. Okay, that's an easy one. Also, number 16, number 17 gives us more to talk about. So there is a rule. And we discussed this actually last year in this shiur. We talked about the issue of preserving the sanctity of holy items. We were talking about davening in a room that has a bedpan as one example. So we dealt with all sorts of issues that relate to where we're going right here in number 17. You know what? Before we read the Nishmas Avram, it's worth it. First, go over to the other sheet that I sent you. The top of the sheet where it says, Sifrei Kodesh B'Beit Cholim, Torah texts, holy texts, in a hospital. So this is a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Hei, Amud Beis. Rav Achoy I'asik Le Lebrei, Bei Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Achoy married off his son, Mazel Tov, to the household of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Shmuel Bar Marta is a whole story in and of himself, but not our discussion right now. They got married. Aile lechuppah, so Rav Achoy brings his son into the chuppah. Velo hava mistaya milsa, but marital relations were not consummated. So there was some kind of a problem going on. So azal basre le'ayune. So Rav Achoy, being a good father, is very concerned about what's happening, and he goes for a visit, figuring, you know, let me see what's going on. They're having trouble. How he knew there was trouble? He knew there was trouble. He says, let me go in and see. So Chaza Sefer Torah demancha. He saw that there was a Sefer Torah lying there, out, you know, exposed. It was just a Sefer Torah, not in an Aron Kodesh. So Amarlo, he said to them, Echu hashta lo asoi sakanton libri. He says, had I not come here, seen what's here, and done something about it, you would have endangered my son. Having marital relations in a room with a Sefer Torah? We've learned, Desanya, the Brisa says, Bayis sheyesh bo Sefer Torah o tefillin osur l'shamesh bo es hamita ad sheyotziem o shenichem kli besoch kli. If there is a house, and it means a room, that has a Torah in it, or has tefillin in it, marital relations are prohibited until you remove them or cover them up in a utensil inside a utensil, in a receptacle that is inside another receptacle. In other words, you need two layers. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Lo shanu ela bekli she'eno kliyan. This is very, very important. I would have said, if you're talking about tefillin, right? Sifrei Torah, I don't think this usually comes up with. I think people are pretty good about having a Sefer Torah inside an aron, and, you know, all is well and good. But, although the truth is, like, this is going to be an issue. We'll see in a second. But I'll take the tefillin example. So you tefillin, you think, well, they're sitting in boxes, and the boxes are inside of a bag, so therefore, what do I have to worry about? It has the double protection. He says it doesn't work that way. Because when we say it needs covers, we mean a cover that is not the standard cover in which it normally exists. The receptacle that is the normal receptacle doesn't count as a cover. It's like part of it. If the kli it's in, the receptacle it's in, is the normal kli for holding it, afilo asara mani kechad manadami, even 10 kelim are like one. Even 10 receptacles are like one. And what he means by that is that one of the two layers has to be a non-normal layer, not the normal receptacle for it. So let's say you take the tefillin, right, in their bag, and you put them inside of a bag, inside of a shopping bag or something like that, inside of a backpack, right? Then you have a cover. That works. But that's what's required. So keeping that in mind, look now back in the Nishmas Avram at number 17. Sifrei Kodesh al Yad Hamita, holy books that are next to a hospital bed. Chole ha-shochev v'beit ha-cholim o b'bayit. If you have somebody who is ill, who's lying in a hospital or at home, v'al ha-shulchan shal yad ha-mita nimtzaim sifrei kodesh, and on the table next to his bed are holy books, o tashmishei kedusha acherim, or other items that are used for holy things, kishem gluyim, and they are exposed. Tzarech lahakbid v'lishmor me'od al-kavodam. So you have to be very careful for their honor. Al lo lehispashet, he can't get undressed there. Vekolshken lasos tzrachav, and certainly not to use the bathroom, bekli in whatever bedpan they have there, bifneim, in front of them. Ad shechaseh atzmo besadin o besmicha, until he covers himself with a sheet or a blanket. O shechnisem lesocha aron, or put the svarim in a cabinet. O yechasa osam bishnei kisuyim, or you cover them in two coverings. And he says you have to be careful that whenever they bring in the bedpan or take out the bedpan, the svarim should be covered or the bedpan should be covered. That's his statement. Clear? This is an issue outside the hospital setting also. Yeah, Toby. Right, so not with the same level of Kedusha that we're talking about for the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin, which has Hashem's name written on parchment. But yes, we generally are, we do try to be careful about that. It comes up, somebody is, staying normally people don't have Sfarim out there in their bedroom. But let's say you're staying in someone's house and they put you in, you know, some room where there are Sfarim. So a person has to be careful about how they get dressed and undressed. They can't do that in front of the svarim. Yeah, Robbie.
So this is just sort of nitpicking, but I'm a little
curious. Go for it.
Curious. You said he came in and yelled at the wife that she was warning the husband. Wouldn't the husband be the one to...
Who said he yelled at the wife? I don't think he yelled at either of them. I think he yelled at the in-laws. I think he yelled at his mechutanim. That's the sound of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think he's yelling at the wife. That's
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. No, because the language of it was a plural language. Sakantun, okay. You plural would have endangered my son. He's not yelling at his daughter-in-law. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa expands on this a little bit. I brought it in source Bays on the sheet. This is the question that Toby just asked. Umaod yesh lishmor al kvod sifrei hakodesh gam b'chol yemos hashavua. You have to be very careful with the honor of holy books all week long. In other words, this isn't a Shabbos halacha. Ein lahavshit yeled es begadav bifnehem. You shouldn't change a kid in front of them, right? The kid needs changing. You can't do that in front of them. Ve'ein lahushivo sham al gabei ha'avit la'asos tzracha v'chadome. You can't, if you have a potty for the kid, you can't do that in front of the svarim. Umezuzah, b'bayish yesh bo yeladim k'tanim. And in as far as the mezuzah, in a house where there are little kids, mutav shi'atfena b'niyar o b'nylon lefneshi asimosa b'sochnar teka. So he says, you should wrap the mezuzah in paper, plastic, something, before you put it in its case. In other words, it should be inside an opaque cover. That's the concern. Also, I imagine it's because now it's like two layers. Maybe that's part of it. I don't remember. I've looked into that issue before, exactly what we need to do for that. But definitely you want an opaque covering. The pasuk of v'lo yera b'chai ervas davar, which we quoted last year, is germane here. Okay. All of that brings us to what I expect to be the major topic for tonight. We had 22 minutes or so on the run-up, and now we get to the big one, which is death certificates, recording a death certificate in the hospital. So on the sheet, on the Nishmas Avram, I should say, so you only have a very brief comment, little paragraph. He says, Cholesh anifter b'Shabbos. Patient dies on Shabbos. Rachmana litzlan. Asur lomar la'akum lichtov tu'udas petira b'Shabbos. Kedei sherofei Yehudi yachalachtom aleh b'motzoei ha'Shabbos. You might have thought, so have a non-Jew write up all the details, and the Jewish doctor will sign it after Shabbos. He says, you can't tell him to do that. That's amira la'akum, telling a non-Jew to write things on Shabbos. That's no good. Ulam, however, im ein derech acheres, if there is no other way, v'hadavar karuch b'chvod ha'meis, and there's an issue of the honor of the deceased, because the body's just going to be left there and potentially not escorted, and it won't be respectful, then muter lazozos. Then he says, okay. He says, fine, then you would be allowed to, I'm getting background noise. Then you would be allowed to tell the non-Jewish doctor to write up the details, and hopefully that'll be good enough, and you don't have to worry about signing it on Shabbos. That's the comment of the Nishmas Avram here. Now, in footnote 98, he tells you this is the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the position of Rav Neuwirth, and then he refers you to a later comment in Nishmas Avram. So that's the last page that I gave you in this Nishmas Avram packet. Do you see the page that says on the top, Tav Kuf Samach Zayin? In the Nishmas Avram. Okay? And you want where it says number 9. This is part of the Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Mem, where it talks about writing on Shabbos. That's the context for this. So there he has a longer discussion of the issue of the death certificate. And he says, Te'udas Petira, a death certificate. Asur lomar lenachri b'Shabbos lichtov te'udas Petira, kedei sharofei yuchal lachtom b'tom ha'Shabbos. He says what we just said, which is that you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to write up the death certificate in order for you to be able to sign it after Shabbos. Lachin, therefore, he says, Al harofei sholech habayta b'tom mishmarto b'Shabbos, uv'machlakaso nifter chole Yehudi. He says it's the responsibility of a doctor. If the doctor is going home at the end of his shift on Shabbos, but in his unit there was a Jew who passed away, limsor b'alpes hanesunim l'rofei shemachlifo. He has to give the doctor who is running the next shift, he has to give that doctor all of the specifics. That the doctor who's there when Shabbos ends will be able to fill it out. In other words, right now we're working with the assumption nothing is being written on Shabbos. So you know whatever details you need, right, to fill it out. So you know time of death, cause of death, whatever it is that needs to be put there. So make sure that if you're leaving, then the doctor who takes your place will have all the information and it can be passed along until Shabbos is over. Ulam, but, he says, im ze bilti efshari, If that's not possible, and let's say the doctor who was there doesn't have the option of coming back to the hospital right after Shabbos to write up the death certificate. So he says, this is what you can do. Yachol hu, kishadavar karuch b'chvod hameis. He says, if the issue involves the dignity of the deceased, here's what you can do. Lomar lenachri b'shabbos lichtov es tu'udas hapetira, to tell the non-Jew to write up the death certificate. Parentheses, v'yesh gam letzarif lezeh shitas or zeruah v'harama shaksiva hibiksav shalohem. This goes back to what we said previously. Remember we discussed the issue of whether the prohibition against writing on Shabbos applies only in Hebrew? So we said that we don't hold that. That is not a thing. However, he refers you to, there is such a view that exists in early Ashkenaz, so that will help. You're writing, yes, it's true, you're writing on Shabbos to write up the death certificate, but number one, it's kavod hames, the honor of the deceased, and number two, you're writing it in English. Doesn't work for an Israeli hospital. But that's his suggestion. The Omar Li, Moi Verabi Hagon Rav Yeshua Neuvert Shlita, and he says, Rav Neuvert, my Rabbi, gave me another heter. This is a great heter. He says, "De'imidubar al meis nachri." What if the person who passed away was not Jewish? Then it becomes a lot easier. Why? Yachol arofe lomar lenachri lichtov es tu'udas hapetira. You could tell a non-Jew to do it because then it's a non-Jew doing malacha for a non-Jew. I was the agent by which it happened, but fundamentally, the non-Jew isn't doing anything for a Jew on Shabbos. So let him do what he wants to do. There's nothing wrong with it. That's his remarkable heter. Ach, however, Amar li hagon Rishlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal de'ein l'rofe lomar l'rofe nochri lichtov as tu'udas hapetira k'nochri osezos b'shlichus ha-Yehudi. He says Rishlomo Zalman didn't buy this idea. Yes, it's true that he's doing it on behalf of the non-Jew who passed away. However, he's doing it at your instruction. He's your agent. He is doing your work. Granted that it's on behalf of a non-Jew. So what you would need to do is not give the instruction yourself, but rather arrange for a non-Jew. No, just take the Jews out of the loop altogether. Let a non-Jew do it on behalf of a non-Jew at the behest of a non-Jew, and let the Jews not get involved in this. That would really be the better way to handle it. Yeah, Michael.
I'm wondering to hear from the others is whether this is a realistic situation. I always have a day or two to fill out the certificate. For the state, they need it signed. Doesn't hold up the person's burial, doesn't do anything. And so I'm wondering, does this ring true for other people's experience that they have to fill out a death certificate on Shabbos?
I can tell you that I've been involved in cases in New York where they would not release the body until the death certificate was signed.
Well, maybe things are just different.
Right? I don't remember anymore from Allentown, but I since coming back to New York, I've been involved in cases where they would not release the body without the death certificate signed. And they had to wait a very long time to get a doctor to actually show up and take care of it.
And we're saying the death certificates then, in terms of the writing, is it different than writing orders or writing anything else, that there's something particular about death certificates that would need to be handled separately from the other writing?
I mean, from a halachic perspective? Yeah, because you're not healing anybody. He's dead. That's it. He's not getting better.
Yeah, the soul's getting better. Yeah.
Yes. Dr. Block.
Confirming that they will not release a body without a death certificate.
Thank you.
For the funeral home.
Yeah. Okay. So it could be, it's, you know, state by state protocols. I don't know, but yeah, that's that would be a significant kavod hames problem. You know, imagine, especially, let's say you're talking about a yantif or a 3-day, you know, to have them stuck. That could be a real issue. Now, I gave a shiur in 2012 in Toronto on kavod habrios and medical decision making. Kavod HaBrios, human dignity, as a factor in halacha when we're talking about medical issues. And I thought that I had an argument for leniency in terms of the death certificate. I went to the Nishmas Avram with my argument. This is a source that we've discussed before, I believe. It comes up a lot. Take a look at source Dalid on the side sheet that I gave you. This is a comment from the Mishnah Berurah writing in his Shaar HaTziyun. Remember the principle, which is brought in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes or so, which is that Kavod HaBrios overrides rabbinic prohibitions. Okay? Human dignity overrides rabbinic prohibitions. That's a basic principle. So the Shaar HaTziyun says the following: Ayin b'primigadim. See the comment of the Primigadim, classic commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. Shemitzadeid dehu adin demutar liktom hakisem biyad. He says, if you had somebody who had food wedged in his teeth in such a way that he just couldn't get the food out, and it's visible to people, so it's an embarrassing thing. He's around other people and they can all see he looks bad with food sticking out of his teeth. So he says, you would be allowed to shape a piece of wood, a splinter of wood by hand, kedei lachtzos bo shinav, in order to split your teeth, meaning a toothpick. You're creating a toothpick. Assuming that you'd have no other way, assuming that the wood is not able to do it right now, assuming you have no way to get the food out, you'd be allowed to do this. Because he says, for you to shape this by hand, not with a tool, but for you to shape it by hand is rabbinically prohibited. In other words, the prohibition against shaping a piece of wood to be useful is a de'oraisa. That is a biblical prohibition of mitakein. You're fixing something. You're taking this piece of wood and making it useful. However, when you do it with your hand instead of with a tool, that's a shinui. That's an unusual way to do it. And therefore, it's only derabanan. And what he's saying is, I am allowed to shape this toothpick in a derabanan way because of kavod habrios. You follow? That's the Shaar HaTziyun. So my question was, why wouldn't one be allowed, similarly, to write the death certificate with his left hand? You write the death certificate with your left hand, with a shinui, right? Some unusual way. If you're a lefty, then you do it with your right hand. Because it's an issue of kavod, right? We just said there's kavod hames, there's the honor of the dead. You follow my question? That was my question for the Nishmas Avram. So I wrote away to the Nishmas Avram. The Nishmas Avram liked my question enough that he brought it to Rav Neuver, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, who came back and said no. I don't mind that he said no. I like the fact that he got my question. So he said that doesn't work. But his argument was a very interesting argument. He said, Kavod Hames is not the same thing as Kavod Habrios. The honor of the dead is not the same thing as the honor of the living. Because in the case of kavod hames, I have an obligation to treat the body with respect. It's not about what the mace feels. The body isn't feeling embarrassed. The issue is, I have a duty to show honor to the dead. Kavod habrios, on the other hand, is that the person is embarrassed. The person is actually suffering. And that's where we can override a rabbinic prohibition. I can override a rabbinic prohibition to keep someone from suffering. I can't override a rabbinic prohibition to fulfill my obligation of taking care of the body. That was his response. But I wasn't done. I see your hand, Toby. I just want to walk through the back and forth. Because there's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Take a look at source Hay. Gemara in Megillah says, Boi Rava. Rava asked, Mikra Megillah, this is seasonal, right? Purim is coming. Mikra Megillah, umeis mitzvah, hai minayu adif. Let's say you have your choice of two mitzvos. One, to hear Megillah reading, or two, to bury somebody who doesn't have anybody around to bury them. Right? There's somebody who passes away, and there aren't enough people to take care of the burial. So you could go take care of the burial, but you're going to miss Megillah reading. Which one do you do? Mikra Megillah Adif. I could argue that Megillah is more important Mishum Pirsumei Nisa, because we place great value on publicizing the miracles of Purim. Odilma meis mitzvah adiv. Or perhaps, though, you should say no. Burial is more significant, mishum kavod habrios, because of the honor of the person who died. And that's kavod habrios, the honor of brios, of creatures. Baser debaya hader pashta. After Rava asked the question, Rava answered his own question. And he said, meis mitzvah adiv. He says, the dead body is more important than Megillah. The Amar Mar, because we've learned, Gadol Kavod HaBrios Shedochas Lo Sase Shebetorah, Kavod HaBrios overrides prohibitions. So therefore, more important to bury the body than to hear Megillas Esther. Everyone understands the Gemara? Rava's conclusion is, more important to bury than to hear Megillas Esther because of the importance of Kavod. So I came back to Rabbi Dr. Abraham and said to him, this is a clear example of Kavod Hames. It's the honor of the dead. And you're overriding a prohibition for that purpose. I thought I had him. But he clarified and said no. And this is his answer. He said, it isn't a distinction in technical terms, the distinction between Kavod Hames and Kavod HaBrios. It's a distinction in the level of violation justified by Kavod of the living versus that justified for Kavod of the dead. In other words, he wasn't saying that Kavod Hames never overrides prohibitions. It does. But it doesn't override as high a level of prohibition as Kavod HaBrios does. That was his point. So it's not great enough to say you could write the death certificate with a shinui. That was his. He stuck his ground. That was his position. Toby, thanks for waiting.
I should probably know this, but I don't. So when does it matter whether the person with the food in the teeth or the mace is Jewish or not Jewish?
So we're talking all about Jews right now. The Kavod HaBrios that we're dealing with to override prohibitions for their sake, we're dealing right now with Jews, and for a very simple reason. If we were dealing with non-Jews, they can go get whatever help they need, you know, toothpick or otherwise, without me. They don't need me.
No, but what if the person, you know, is sick or unable? You know, you're talking about a patient in the hospital. You have a non-Jewish patient.
Yeah.
And they really cannot do for themselves.
Right.
So, or if it's covered ames, what if you're talking about a deceased person and you are the only one there?
So I would go back to Rav Neuwirth. I would go back to Rav Neuwirth's leniency and say, so get a non-Jew to do this on their behalf. That's the way I would handle it. I have an easier thing. I don't need to get into a Jew doing it because it can get a non-Jew to do it for a non-Jew, and I don't need to get involved. That would be to me. That would be the easiest and most straightforward approach. Okay. Bottom line is, people should stay alive, and therefore we won't have this issue. That would really be kind of my advice. Okay. So back in the Nishmas Avram, and you want the page, the last line on the page that has Tuf Aleph on the top. Chole Mibul Bal. He now gets into a series of comments about dealing with patients who are confused, and because they are confused, they need to be restrained. So he says, Chole Mibul Bal, in number 19. Chole ha'alul lipol, a patient who is likely to fall, mimitaso, from his bed. Next page. Mutter laharkiv b'shabas ma'akeb b'tzidei amita k'dei limnoa nefilaso. So you would be allowed to put up a wall, a barrier, beside the bed in order to prevent him falling out of the bed. You know, you have a railing of some kind and you want to attach the railing to the bed. You're allowed to attach the railing to the bed. The reason why I might have thought otherwise is this some kind of a constructive act? But the fear of this patient falling out of the bed is obviously a danger, and therefore we're justified. In the footnote, he says, I heard this from my Rebbe Rav Neuwirth. That's his source. Clear? Okay. And then you get number 20. Number 20 is also the confused patient dealing with restraining the patient by tying a knot in something. Kshiras cholem bulbal, tying a patient who is confused. Cholem bulbal hatolesh es tzinor ha'irui. If you have a patient who is confused and is pulling out the infusion tube, right? Pulling out the IVs, right? This, unfortunately, this is not rare. Oes hazunda, the darkam mekabel ochel otipul, or the feeding tube. He's pulling out his feeding tube. Mutter likshor es yadav lamita b'shabes b'kesher kaful. So you would be allowed to tie his arms down to the bed with a double knot. Obviously, no one wants to do this. This is a terrible thing to have to do. But if it's necessary, he says, Shabbos wouldn't keep you from doing it. Umutter lino kach gam b'chole she'en bo sakana. And he says, you would even be allowed to do this even for a patient who's not in danger. Patient is ill, but not in danger, for whom we say that you're generally only allowed to do derabanans with a shinui, in an unusual way. So he says you'd be allowed to tie the knot. Why? Why would that be okay? Ki ein hakesher omed lehiskayim, because this knot is not a permanent thing. You're not leaving this knot in. Right now, the patient needs to be restrained, but you're going to untie it. It's not meant to be permanent, and he's willing to rely on that here. And in the event that the patient was tied, but you need to untie the patient to take care of the patient, you'd be allowed to do that as well. Yes, Robbie.
So a lot of times when I worked in the emergency department, they use what they call medical restraints, you know, and they gave them an injection of something to calm them down. So is there any difference between that and...
How is that injected? Is that intravenous or intramuscular?
Intramuscular.
Much better then. Much better to do that from a halachic perspective.
Yeah, they just sort of give them whatever.
No, an injection like that is much better. At the very worst, it's going to be a derabanan. It depends on bruising and stuff like that. But it's, I would advocate for that as opposed to this, where there's a potential concern for biblical, depending on how you view knots. There are concerns involved in injections. Many years ago, one of my first shiurim in Toronto on medical halacha was on injections. And we talked about some of the ancillary issues that come up, like assembling a needle. And is that a problem? If you assemble the needle on Shabbos, is that construction? When you break the needle afterwards, is that destruction? But you can get around all of those. And I think you do get around all of those with the standard protocols for injections these days in terms of just normal procedures. This would not be a problem, and I would think that would be the better option halachically. Okay, we're up to the last one in the introduction of the Nishmas Avram, and this is called Mechitza Hamateres. Mechitza Hamateres means a barrier, a divider that permits, and this is something we discussed last year a little bit, when we were talking about, again, the case of davening in a room with a bedpan. So I'm not spending a lot of time on the background now because we did talk about it, and the Nishmas Avram is going to bring a lot of the information anyway. I'm just not going to go through all the background sources that we did last year. But I will introduce the topic by pointing you to source Vav on the side sheet that I sent out from the Shulchan Aruch. He talks about the issue of making a barrier on Shabbos. What exactly would my concern be? Asur lasos ohel b'Shabbos v'yom tov, afilu hu arai. I'm not allowed to create a roofed structure on Shabbos or Yom Tov, even if it's just temporary. I'm not allowed to do that, right? There's a lot of halachic discussion. Your schach blows off, what are your options, right? You're not allowed to construct a roofed structure on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But it says, vidavka gag, that's specifically where there's a roof, right? Roofed structure. Avo mechitzos mutter. But to create a wall, that generally speaking is not going to be a problem. So normally, let's say you had the following case. Let's say you have a hospital room with one patient in it. You need to bring in a second patient. You want, for the purpose of privacy, you want to set up a curtain in between them. That's not a problem. We're good with that. That's not ohel. There's no roof. It's just, a vertical curtain. The problem you get into is what's coming next. The ein mechitza asura, setting up a divider, is not prohibited. Ela imkeinaseis lahatir sukkah o lahatir tiltol. Unless it's done to permit a sukkah, meaning if it's actually part of a sukkah, or if it's there to permit carrying things on Shabbos. The Erev goes down, and I want to create a barrier so that I will now have a wall. That is a problem for me to do on Shabbos. That's called mechitza hamateres, literally a divider that permits. So that's where I get into trouble. Says the Rama, continuing in Vav, we're on the second line, the beginning of the second line, Haggah, the Rama says, Ava mechitza anaseis litznius bialma shari. But if it's just for privacy, then again, it's permitted. It's only where this barrier has halachic resonance. It's going to allow something that was not allowed before. Aval aser lasos mechitza b'fnei or haner kadei sheyishamesh mitaso. An example of a mechitza that permits, that would be a problem, is, he says, in the event that a couple wants to have relations, but there's a light on in the room, and it's halachically inappropriate for them to have relations in a lit room, so you put your barrier in front of the light, and that permits it. Or like the case we mentioned before, putting a barrier in front of books in order to be able to do his needs, that would be a problem. But what do you do? Imlo shehaya mibeod yom tefach. Unless the mechitza was already one tefach extended before Shabbos. Shaz mutar lahosif alei b'Shabbos. Then you'd be allowed to add to it. In other words, he's saying that I'm not allowed to create a mechitza which is going to permit use of a space for something. However, I would be allowed to do so if the mechitza was partially extended before Shabbos began. This comes up with baby carriages. There's a concern of if you put the hood on a baby carriage on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that it's a roof. So that's a real ohel problem. However, if it was already attached and it extended a few inches, then there's no problem with me extending it further because the roof was already a roof before Shabbos started and all I'm doing is adding to an existing one. Clear? Everyone clear? Okay, all of that is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Nishmas Avram discusses the application of this in the hospital setting. Let's go back to the page that has tough bays at the top. You want number 21. Mechitza hamateres, a permitting divider. Tzrichim lahavdil ben mechitza regila, shetafkida la'afsher dvarm shel rishus, uven mechitza hamateres habalahatir dvarm shel bekdusha. We need to distinguish between a normal barrier, which permits optional activities, discretionary activities, and a barrier that permits, which comes to permit use for sacred things. Kevin Shanasis Kidelahati Rasias Davarshi Efshar Hayala Sosa Biladeha. Since the mechitza is being made in order to permit use of the space for some activity that would otherwise be prohibited, Gazru Chazal Shetahinach Sheves Lemechitza Le'enyan Isurbona B'Shabbos U'B'Yom Tov. The rabbis rabbinically said this is an important divider, and therefore you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's like making an ohel. It's like making a roof structure, rabbinically. Mechitza materes hi zu shemamidim b'fnei sifrei kodesh. Kidei shei muter lahoshiv sham tinok lasos tzracha v'lahavshit latinok es begadav. He says, what is a mechitza materes? It's like what you would put in front of holy books in order to allow you to put a kid on the potty or in order to allow you to change the kid. Oh, zusha mamidim misaviv lamitas achol bebeis acholim kidei lahatir lo lehispalel sham. Or let's say, a wall put up around the bed of a patient in the hospital so that he can daven. Maybe the patient in the next bed is, you know, exposed, or there's a bedpan or whatever it is. So you want to put this curtain around the bed of this patient. That's a problem, he says. That's called mechitza materes. Clear? We understand the problem? I mean, it ends up not being a problem, but that's where we are right now. So he says, Utnoim hisnu chazal likro la mechitza zu b'shem mechitza materes. He says, what exactly defines something as a mechitza that can permit use of the space? Here are the criteria. Shegovha yehei asara tefachim lefachos. 10 tefach tall, at least 10 tefach high. That's number one. Rochba arba'a tefachim lefachos. Its width has to be at least 4 tefach wide. Vishitehe omedes baruch mitsuya. It has to be a machitza that could stand in a common wind. Kigon, for example, vilon shemachuber gam b'kitzei ha'elyon v'gam b'tachton. If you have a curtain that is joined to a rail at the top and at the bottom, that would be such a machitza. V'asur lahamid machitza zu b'Shabbos o b'Yom Tov. So you would not be allowed to set that up on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Me'idach, on the other hand, machitza kayemes she'ina mehudekes. If you have a machitza that exists but is not stuck to the top and bottom. Let's say you have a curtain that's hanging from a railing on top, but it's not fastened at the bottom. So mutter lahadka b'ktzei ha'elyon v'tachton shala. You would be allowed to complete it. Im amnam kavanasa shetamod rak lizman katzar, assuming that it's only going to be temporary. We require that it be temporary as well. Further, he says, Mutter b'Shabbos lomar la'akum l'hakim machitza materes she'ina kivua. You'd be allowed on Shabbos to tell a non-Jew to set up a machitza that permits use of a space if it's not fixed. Im ha'yehudi tzarech l'tzarech mitzvah, assuming it's needed for a mitzvah, kigon l'hispal b'makom naki, such as to be able to daven in a clean space because there's a bedpan on the other side of the machitza. Am I going too fast or we're okay? Kishem she'asur lahakim machitza materes, just like you're not allowed to set up such a barrier, kain asur leforkas, so too you're not allowed to disassemble it. Ba'oda mishameshes kemachitza materes, as long as it is still functioning, as permitting a function in that space, you wouldn't be allowed to disassemble it. However, achla achar she'eno tzorech ba, once there's no need for it anymore, v'shuv'eina mishameshes kemachitza materes, it's no longer functioning as a machitza permitting the space, harimutar leforka, then you're allowed to dismantle it. You follow what he's saying? It's tricky. This barrier has the status of a physical barrier, whether you're using it to permit use of a space or not. But from a halachic perspective, I only care if it's permitting use of the space. So he says, if it's still functioning as a machitza hamateres, it's still permitting use of the space right now, then I'm not allowed to disassemble it. However, if it's no longer playing that role is over, then it's just a regular machitza. You can do what you want. You don't need to do anything, but you could. Further, along the same lines, machitza shebemahusa hina machitza hamateres. If you have a barrier, which by nature is filling that role of a permitting machitza, it's enabling me to use that space, it's enabling the patient to daven, for example. Mutter lahakima b'Shabbos, shalom menas lahatir. You could set it up for a purpose other than permitting the patient to daven. You could set it up for some other reason, privacy, for example. Oh, he says, kimo l'mashol shachole yuchal lishon. Let's say to help a patient sleep. It's blocking light out of that area. Sharei eini ba lahatir davar. It's not being used to permit anything. That's not what it's doing. Ubevad shlo yechabra b'ktsasa ha'elyon v'atachton k'dei shetamod b'mekoma kamayamim. The only thing you should not do is don't fix it top and bottom so that it'll last for a long time. That he doesn't want you to do. It will end up being a machitza hamateres in the end. It'll also allow him to daven. Your goal is not to allow him to daven. Your goal is to just give him space so he can sleep. And you're not attaching it top and bottom in a way that will endure, so we're okay with it. Last note. Mutar liftamach b'Shabbos mechitza miskapeles. Ulaha amida misaviv lemitas hachole. Im kidei lishmor menuchaso shel hachole. Vim letzarech bedika v'tipo b'cheder shnimtzim b'cholim nosafim. He says, you'd be allowed, if you have an accordion type of a partition. So he says, you'd be allowed to open that on Shabbos, around a patient's bed, such as to keep the patient's ability to sleep, or because you want to do tests that require privacy and there are other patients in the room. Uchlal lo chashuvim yishtamesh la'acher mikain v'machitza zu b'mekoma b'kemachitza shabala hatir lehispala machmas taharas hamakom. And he says, once you've set it up in a permitted way, you can leave it up and they could use it as a halachic machitza as well. You set it up so the patient can sleep. The patient takes a nap. The patient wakes up and wants to daven. That's just fine. The patient can daven. That's good. That works.
But
we would not want you to open up a folding mechitza in order to permit davening there. Elim kein, unless he mechitza megulales ukvar paras mimena tevach echad lefachos mibod yom. Unless it was a rolled up mechitza and it was partially extended, right? It was extended a few inches before Shabbos, like we talked about. Kiyaz muter lahosif aleforsa b'Shabbos, because then you could continue to extend it on Shabbos. V'cheinim himachitza mechuberes lakir. Also, if you have a mechitza that's attached to the wall, afilu eina prusa mi ba'od yom l'rochav shel tevach echad, gam az muter leposcha b'Shabbos. You can open that on Shabbos, even if it wasn't extended a tefach before Shabbos, because you're extending an existing mechitza in that case. But the fact that it was attached to the wall, it was already a mechitza, even though it was not extended. And all you're doing is adding to an existing one. I know that I rushed this a little bit. I wanted to get to the end of what the Nishmas Avram was doing today. Clear? Yes? Okay. So God willing, next week, now that we've finished the introduction to Shin Chav Ches, we're actually going to start Shin Chav Ches. That's where we go next. Okay?
Can I ask you a question, Rabbi?
Yeah, sure.
Going back to Kavod HaMeis.
Yeah.
So, the Nishmas Avraham. So what if, I know that one of the things that we do Kavod HaMeis is you're supposed to bury right away.
Yeah.
You don't wait. So you said it's sometimes a problem. They won't release the body. And that's the experience that I've had in New York. So what if the only person around is a Jew?
The only person around for what?
No, there's nobody else around to sign the
death certificate.
He says, wait. What do you, is there a time? Is there everybody else is ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing holding it up.
So I think we're stuck with it. If the only person around with a Jew is a Jew, then I think that that you really do end up needing to wait. It's unfortunate, but that's certainly the way the Nishmas Avram concludes. He does not want the Jew to fill it out on Shabbos, understanding even that it will hold things up a day.
Well, yeah. There might be 3 days because we have 3 day Yontifs coming up.
I have to think that there's a non-Jew coming into this hospital at some point. Like 3 days?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I guess you have to get home for Seders.
All right.
One of them anyhow, yeah.
All right.